Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents National Park Mysteries and Disappearances, California, Yosemite, Joshua Tree, Mount Shasta, by Steve Stockton and Bill Melder, narrated by Chris Abernathy. Introduction. California. The very name elicits the stuff legends and dreams are made of. Whether the pristine beach at Malibu, Hollywood, seat of the entertainment industry and land of movie stars, as well as broken dreams and destroyed lives, to the desert, to the mountains, and everything in between, California has it all. Even those who have never had the pleasure of visiting the Golden State know of it and have preconceived notions brought about by the many portrayals in film and on television. California, one of the United States' most western states, winds and stretches along the Pacific coast from the border with Mexico to the south to the border of Oregon to the north. In addition to the entertainment industry in Southern California, you have the Central Valley full of its farmlands and the Mojave Desert. Continuing north, more cliff-lined beaches, redwood forests, the hills of San Francisco with the Golden Gate Bridge, cable cars, and Alcatraz Island, and the Sierra Nevada mountain range. Yes, California truly does have something for everyone. But California also has a darker side, especially in some of its myriad national parks, forests, and wildlife, wilderness, and recreational areas. Strange disappearances, where the missing person is not only never found, but nor are any clues. Bizarre stories of cults, sacrifices, and other manner of things happening on public lands. Tales of UFOs, Bigfoot, and haunted places. Still get the same mental imagery when you think of the word California? We're not saying that you shouldn't visit these areas. In fact, for the truly adventurous, these mysterious goings-on are even more incentive to head west to California. But please use caution. Go prepared or stay home. I don't want to write about you in future updates to this series. In this book, we'll be taking an intimate look at three of my favorite and arguably strangest national parks in California: Yosemite, Joshua Tree, and Mount Shasta. Technically not a national park, but Mount Shasta is located within the Shasta Trinity National Forest, which is close enough for our concerns. Mount Shasta is way too weird to be excluded by a park or forest designation. So buckle up and join me through a wild ride across the strange, rugged landscape of California. Let us find beautiful monsters there, shall we? Part 1. Yosemite. Yosemite National Park is located in California and nestled snugly in the heart of the Sierra Nevada Mountains. The park was established under federal protection in 1864 and became part of the United States National Park Service on October 1, 1890. Today, the park spans more than 740,000 acres of land and is most well known for its majestic waterfalls, striking sunsets, and diverse outdoor pursuits that altogether draw more than 4 million visitors annually. That's a huge park, biggest in California, and a lot of people. It's California's most visited national park. Yosemite's natural ecosystem supports more than 400 species of wildlife, including black bear, coyote, and the elusive mountain lion, and its forests are populated by some of the oldest and largest species of trees. The ancient giant sequoias are the most recognizable big trees of Yosemite, but we can't overlook the sugar pine, especially when it casually drops 24-inch, 61-centimeter pine cones to the forest floor from heights of over 200 feet, 61 meters. The huge pine cones, dense vegetation, imposing granite mountains, and cascading waterfalls make for a truly remarkable wonderland of natural beauty. Along with the beautiful surroundings and fun outdoor activities, Yosemite is burdened with an unfortunate dark side. Mysterious, inexplicable things happen here, and there are a disturbing number of unsolved disappearances from the area, some of which have gone unsolved for decades. Could there be some truth to Yosemite's legends and lore? With so many annual visitors, Yosemite is California's most visited national park, seeing in excess of 5 million guests per year. It is second only to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park in terms of visitors. And its harsh terrain, a few missing people wouldn't seem uncommon. But the number of disappearances at Yosemite, and within the national park system overall, is beyond unsettling. In this chapter, we will cover strange events, local legends, and several very unsettling and unsolved missing persons mysteries from Yosemite National Park, plus a whole lot more. The following events, legends, and disappearances can be frightening, so discretion is strongly advised. Chapter 1. Strange Events at Yosemite. Deadly Lightning. Former Yosemite Park Ranger John W. Bingaman wrote about several strange events he recalls happening at the park in his 1961 publication titled Guardians of the Yosemite. He begins by saying, "The ranger files of strange accidents through the years reads like a storybook fiction." The first strange event he covered was about a freak lightning storm that sprang forth unexpectedly. He wrote, "One day, a severe lightning storm came up suddenly over Glacier Point when 30 horseback riders were on their way up to the point. Lightning struck near the party, and a bolt of fire ran down the trail, killing 9 saddle horses. The riders, fortunately, were not injured, only shocked by the charge of lightning so close to them and having their horses killed. No one in the party will ever forget that experience." It's worth noting that the chance of lightning striking so many living beings at once is exceptionally rare. Yet this isn't the only time a freak lightning storm has showed up at Yosemite and turned out deadly. Consider these. In 1985, around 6:30 p.m., 5 climbers had made their way up to Half Dome overlooking Yosemite Valley and were sitting on top of a cavern. Then, lightning struck the group, killing 2 of them and injuring the other 3, 2 of them critically. The lightning bolt sent one of the climbers tumbling down 4,000 feet. 16-year-old Brian Gordon was one of the 2 who passed from fatal injuries, though the identity of the 2nd person who died was withheld until relatives were notified of the incident. 28-year-old Tom Rice and 24-year-old Bruce Weiner were hospitalized at UC Davis Medical Center and were in critical condition from the lightning storm. 24-year-old Adrian J. Esteban was treated at the medical center and released the same day. This event led the National Park Service to issue safety guidelines on how to identify and avoid lightning and thunderstorms at Yosemite. Of course, as these were considered freak occurrences, all the recognition and avoidance training probably won't be of much benefit. It's a good effort, though, by the National Park Service, I suppose. Strange Animal Encounters. Another set of strange events recounted in Guardians of the Yosemite by John are a couple of reports of odd coyote behavior. "Here is another unusual happening," he wrote. "Jeffrey Stanton of Walnut Creek, California, was camping in the Wawona campground. Sometime during the early morning hours, a coyote bit him on the head while he was asleep. He awakened in time to see the coyote trot away into the bushes. First aid was given and the necessary treatment at the Lewis Memorial Hospital for rabies. An extensive hunt by the rangers was made for a week, but the coyote was never located, and fortunately Mr. Stanton suffered no ill effect from the experience." A similar case happened a month later when Carl M. Munson of Yosemite was camping in the Wawona campground. A coyote or wild dog or something scratched him on the head while he was sleeping on the ground. Here again, no bad reactions occurred from the experience, but again the rangers hunted for days with no results. It was assumed that the animal was hunting for its food and passed by Carl when he turned or moved in his sleeping bag. The animal may have thought it was something to pounce on, as they often do when searching for small game or birds. John ended the section on strange events he recalled by saying, "These specific accidents are just a few of the many that are reported and treated by rangers as part of a full day's work." UFO sighting. On September 19, 2002, during evening hours and just after the sun had set, the visitors of Yosemite were treated to an unexpected visitor. a bright, ball-shaped light in the sky, also classified as a UFO. The UFO was surrounded by a halo of light much larger than itself and was trailed by seemingly miles of zigzagging smoke. The ball of light made its way across the sky slowly, and a visitor was able to capture the event on camera before the disc ultimately disappeared into the night. About 30 minutes after the flying disc went away, the witness writes that Air Force jets arrived and circled the area multiple times. Nothing unusual was reported. Numerous other incidents like this have happened at Yosemite, and to this day, we don't know for sure what these discs are. The UFO footage captured that evening in 2002 was regarded as some of the best available for that time, considering that lightweight camcorders weren't really around and popular until the 1990s, and phone camera recording wasn't around in the U.S. until the early 2000s, it's no surprise. Yet, it seems as though little to no real investigation is being done, or perhaps there's no investigation being publicized, to solve these UFO sightings by identifying what they are, where they originate, and why they appear in the skies. Chapter 2. Yosemite Legends. One might wonder, just how are centuries-old tales and legends still around in today's time? It's tempting to think humans should have grown beyond the fear of things that go bump in the night. But despite our current scientific knowledge and advanced technology, some of the most unsettling mysteries we face still go unsolved. Perhaps there's more to those tales of old than meets the eye. Here are just a few of the many legends originating from the Yosemite area. The Fish Women, a Miwok folk tale. It is said that thousands of years ago, when the Awanichis were still a young nation, the Merced River was the home of the Fish Women, or mermaids. These mermaids were beautiful creatures, having the tails of fish, complete with scales and fins, and the upper bodies of gorgeous women. They were unable to leave the water, but would often sit upon the rocks in the shallows, watching, combing their long black hair with loving hands, singing their most alluring of songs to the warriors of Awani. Charming as the mermaids were, the warriors were not easily fooled, and they knew the mermaids were not only very beautiful, but very sinister. One day, there were two braves out fishing in the deep river pools, using a net fashioned with milkweed thread. The net became entangled in the rocks at the bottom of the river. One of the braves dove down to free the netting. This turned out to be an opportunity the fish women couldn't resist. Once the brave was under the water's surface, the fish women darted out from under the rocks. They tied the threads of the net to his toes and held him underwater until he drowned. Then they untied the brave and carried him away to their hidden land beneath the river. And neither the brave nor the mermaids were ever seen again. The Pohono Legend. The Miwok Pohono legend holds that Yosemite's Bridal Veil Fall is haunted by an ancient evil spirit that manifests in the form of an alluring and captivating wind. The story is told of an older woman and a maiden of Awani who were picking berries along the stream above Bridal Veil Fall when something evil happened. As the two were thumbing for the ripest berries, the maiden looked away from her work, down the stream, and out toward the brink of the waterfall, where she saw a multicolored mist swirling high into the air. The maiden was charmed by the beauty of the colors and enchanted by the presence of the mist and the energy it carried. She became further hypnotized until she finally abandoned her hunt for berries altogether and moved down the stream, closer to the swirling colors and closer to the edge of the falls. Nothing could turn her attention away from the mist, not the older woman calling to her in the background, not even her own self-preservation as she was lured closer to the drop-off. She was focused only on the intoxicating, colorful cloud of mist and wind. As the maiden took her last few steps toward the brink of the falls, the whirling winds let out a shriek of unholy glee and engulfed her completely. The evil spirit used the winds to carry the maiden's body up and throw her over the ledge of the falls, Pohono watched as the maiden plunged to her rocky deathbed. The older woman was terrified by what she saw unfold. She quickly made her way down the cliff, navigating the rough terrain as best she could. She ran back to the tribe's camp, crying out that Pohono, the spirit of the evil wind, had drawn the maiden in. After hearing the old woman's story, the old chief of Awani warned all other members of his tribe to never venture into the mists of Pohono. He warned them it was the abode of an evil spirit that would draw them in and throw them over the falls to their deaths, where their spirits would be carried down into Pohono's land of darkness and misery, to be held captive unless Pohono secured another victim. To this day, it is told that another Awani has never ventured into the grips of Pohono since the maiden's death, though the spirit continues to haunt Bridal Veil Fall. Chapter 3. Haunted Yosemite. The Haunting of the Awani Hotel. The Awani Hotel in Yosemite National Park was opened in 1927 and is one of the United States' most distinctive registered national landmarks. The Awani offers every comfort needed, right in the hub of the Sierra Mountain terrain. There are also some potentially unwanted and uncomfortable amenities included. There are believed to be two World War II-era ghosts that haunt the mezzanine level of the hotel, which could be due to the fact that the Awani Hotel was also used as a naval convalescent hospital during the war. Numerous other spirits are said to inhabit the hotel, including Mary Curry Tresidder, who took part in the hotel's design and opening, and none other than President John F. Kennedy. After Mary Curry Tresidder aided in the design, she actually lived in a private apartment at the Awani Hotel until her death in 1970, and it is believed to be her spirit that began haunting guests on the sixth floor shortly thereafter. Since then, sightings of her ghost are frequently reported by the hotel guests and personnel. Her spirit is said to be more of a prankster than a threatening entity, as she is known for performing nurturing actions like tucking in guests as they sleep or folding their clothes that were previously strewn about. Guests have also reported having their items moved around their rooms and being called out to by Mary's ghost. U.S. President John F. Kennedy stayed on the third floor of the Awani Hotel during a visit to Yosemite in 1962. During his stay, a rocking chair was placed in the room at the president's own request, as he had complained of his constant and well-known back pain. Kennedy reportedly spent plenty of time in the chair, rocking away the time and back pain, perhaps contemplating his future, without knowing the darkness that truly lay ahead. After his visit was over and he vacated the premises, the chair was removed from the hotel room. However, seemingly immediately after his tragic death by assassination in 1963, there are often reports of a spectral rocking chair mysteriously appearing in the room where the president slept. The chair has even been seen moving by itself about the halls and other rooms of the third floor. Various other occurrences are reported in the hotel, including the sightings of apparitions and the hearing of disembodied footsteps. It's as if the Awani Hotel, or perhaps the majestic land of Yosemite, or maybe a sinister resident, holds on to some visitors for good. Chapter 4. Unexplained Disappearances from Yosemite National Park. Emerson Holt. 55-year-old Emerson Holt disappeared on July 18, 1943, more than 75 years ago now, while hiking at Yosemite National Park. Emerson was vice president of the Riverside Tidal Company and was well known to many villagers. A large search party was assembled shortly after he disappeared, but nothing was found. An article in the San Bernardino Sun, published July 24, 1943, states that Yosemite National Park officials described Emerson's disappearance as mystifying. Emerson was with a large group of friends when he went missing. They left Happy Isles, heading for Lake Camp, which was 7 miles away. When the group was almost to their destination, Emerson reportedly complained of a pain in his legs and had to sit and rest. He told the group that he would catch up, but they never saw him again. Emerson frequented the trails at Yosemite and was no stranger to its terrain. Even so, the area he went missing in wasn't nearly as dangerous as some other areas of the park. The park superintendent at the time, Frank Kittredge, said the group were alarmed when Emerson didn't return, and the search began immediately. He also said that he and other park officials were puzzled because the Merced River, where Emerson rested, is shallow and not swift, and there were no cliffs or deep pools of water for several hundred yards. How did Emerson disappear without a trace so close to his destination, with so many people around? On August 6, 1943, the search was getting more intense and was still well underway, as reported by the Desert Sun newspaper. No later digitized articles were found on Emerson Holt's disappearance, and his ultimate fate remains unknown. He would be 132 years old if he were alive today. As of February 3, 2021, Emerson's case remains unsolved, and there have been no further updates. Lewis A. Miller. 73-year-old Lewis Miller disappeared in September of 1950 from somewhere in the vicinity of the Mono Pass Trail south of Tioga Pass at the end of the old road. In Guardians of the Yosemite, Ranger John recalled that he was at Tuolumne Meadow Ranger Station the day Lewis went missing. Lewis and his son, L.R. Miller, were fishing that day, and they had temporarily separated to fish independently. Lewis was going up Dana Fork, while his son, L.R., fished downstream. They were supposed to meet back at the car around 5 p.m., but Lewis never showed up. His son quickly alerted authorities. Ranger John wrote about Lewis's search and rescue. "I organized a ranger search team immediately, made up of Ranger Lowry Brown and another ranger, and two members of the Miller family. We searched along the stream with lanterns until midnight, with no success. Early next morning, we got additional help from headquarters. 30 searchers spent all day without finding a trace. We had searchers out in the area for 10 days without success. Mounted rangers combed the area, but found nothing. Notices were posted on the east side of the Sierra at various points, with the hope that if he was a victim of amnesia or made his way out on foot, someone would recognize him walking along a trail or road. Lewis disappeared without a trace, and what happened to him has remained a complete mystery to this day. Anyone with information concerning the missing man should contact his son, L.R. Miller, at 917 14th Street, Antioch, California." As of this writing, in mid-2021, Lewis's case remains unsolved, and there have been no further updates. Walter A. Gordon. 26-year-old Walter Gordon disappeared on July 20, 1954, while he was believed to be hiking up the ledge trail to Glacier Point. Walter was a University of California researcher, a Yosemite Park employee, and an overall experienced hiker. Walter was carrying a boxed lunch and planned to stop and eat somewhere along Ledge Trail. Former Yosemite Park Ranger John W. Bingaman recounted Walter's disappearance, along with many others, in Chapter 7 of his 1961 publication, Guardians of the Yosemite. Ranger John writes that Walter was working at Camp Curry in Yosemite, and when he was reported missing, the other rangers went out looking. He said regarding the search and rescue operation, "Rangers searched for many days. Bloodhounds and a helicopter were used, but no trace of him was ever found." The helicopter used in the search for Walter was one of the first used in the park. Despite the extensive efforts, nothing was found. How did a young, agile employee of the park disappear on a hike that he likely would have taken many times before? As of February 3, 2021, Walter's case remains unsolved, and there have been no further updates. Orvar Las. 30-year-old Orvar Las disappeared on October 9, 1954, not quite 3 months after Walter Gordon went missing, while on a hike in the vicinity of Sugar Pine Bridge in Yosemite Valley. Orvar was from Berkeley, California, and was visiting with his family in the Yosemite area at the time of his disappearance. Former park ranger John Bingaman wrote about Orvar's case in Guardians of the Yosemite and said, "He disappeared completely and was never found, although rangers searched for days." Ranger John also wrote in his publication about both Orvar and Walter, the previous case, saying, "The case of Gordon and Lass were very strange, for there were no clues as to what happened to them." As of the time of this writing in 2021, Orvar's case remains unsolved, and there have been no further updates. Tom Opperman. 21-year-old Tom Opperman disappeared on August 8, 1967. Tom's last known location was Merced Lake. He was heading out to hike Clark Mountain in Yosemite. Tom's plan was to hike Mount Clark, then head to Glacier Point and return to the valley 2 days later on August 10th. An extensive search was undertaken when Tom was reported missing, and sometime during the search, 16 U.S. Marines were brought in to help. After a week, the main search was scaled back to cover only the Merced Lake and Clark Mountain areas. The assistant park superintendent at the time, David Condon, said after the week-long extensive search, "We feel the young man probably met up with some misfortune." On September 25, 1967, a three-man team set out on what would be the last searching attempt at locating Tom. Nothing was discovered on this final search attempt. As of this writing in mid-2021, Tom's case remains unsolved, and there have been no further updates. Jane Doe. This case has a slightly different set of circumstances than a normal missing persons case. The disappearance was near Yosemite, and the missing person case that correlates with Jane Doe, if one exists, has not been discovered, so her identity remains unknown. 17 to 30-year-old Jane Doe's partial remains were discovered in Yosemite's Summit Meadow along Glacier Point Road in 1983. Jane Doe's cause of death was human foul play, and the suspect in this case was Henry Lee Lucas, who was interviewed by authorities in 1980 and eventually died in prison in 2001. He knew facts about Jane Doe's case that were never revealed to the public and could only be known by the guilty party, so it is reasonable to believe that he was responsible for her death. Jane Doe's identity remains unknown despite any information given by Henry Lucas before his death. He stated that in the early 1980s, he had picked up a female hitchhiker on Highway 41 somewhere between Fresno, California and Yosemite National Park. He said she was 5'5" or 5'6" and weighed approximately 100 to 125 pounds. She had long, straight hair that was light brown to blonde and wore silver rings on both her hands. Jane Doe is believed by forensic experts to have been at least in her late teens, though she could have been up to 30 years old. The National Park Service Investigative Services Branch has had special agents working with multiple labs and agencies to identify Jane Doe and bring closure to her family. A digital facial reconstruction was created by forensic artists using an anthropology exam along with a CT scan of the remains. If you have any information that you think could help the case and ultimately help identify Jane Doe, you are urged to call the National Park Service tip line at 888-653-0009. These mysterious and unexplained disappearances have been happening probably for millennia, and they continue to happen daily, with our national parks being hotspots for these missing persons cases. It is recommended that everyone who plans on being within our national parks or out in the wilderness in general carry a personal locator beacon at all times, which transmits a distress signal with its location when activated in the event that something goes wrong. While there could be any number of things or combination of things to blame for these cases, one thing is certain. Something had to happen. Whether these people suffered some natural tragedy or disappeared through supernatural means, they did not simply vanish, though the official records would appear to be just that, vanishings. What do you think happened? Part 2. Joshua Tree. Joshua Tree National Park is an American national park in southeastern California, east of Los Angeles.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?